Thank you all for coming in this early hour. Yesterday we had many talks on PDEs and spectral theory, and today I will switch the topic for dynamical systems which are associated to lattices, in particular nonlinear lattices. And the problem I would like to study is the problem of existence of traveling wave solutions in nonlinear lattices. This is a series of recent papers I did in collaboration with many people, so I will try to survey some of the individual topics in this area. In particular, I would like to point out one collaborator, Vasilis Rotos, who was in England and now in Greece. Then Igor Barashenkov and Oliver Oxtoby, it's a South African group. And then Gerard Yos in France. So all these people were collaborating with me on this topic. So I will start with PDEs, with a continuous model, because it's well known that PDEs have traveling wave solution in many instances, and in particular, many PDEs have traveling wave solutions in elementary form, expressed in terms of elementary functions. In particular, one of the standard problem is the continuous five-four model, which is used in solid-state physics, in general relativity in many other disciplines. It's a PDE in one space dimension X for real valued variable U, and it is a sort of a Klein-Gordon equation with a cubic type nonlinearity. And in this PDE, it is well known that there are traveling wave solutions, which are particularly traveling kink solutions. Traveling kink solutions are solutions from one non-zero equilibrium state at infinity to another non-zero equilibrium state at infinity. In this particular configuration, it's expressed by hyperbolic 10 from minus 1 at a negative infinity to plus 1 at a positive infinity. S is a translation parameter, means that the continuous model is translational invariant and the solution can be translated in space. And C is a parameter of velocity. It's the velocity of a traveling wave. And it is naturally bounded by the unity. Now, if you look at the discretization of this problem, then the standard discretization which comes into your mind is to discretize the continuous second-order derivative operator with the second-order central difference here. And the standard discretization would also discretize the nonlinearity to be evaluated so-called on-site. So for each lattice node n, the nonlinearity is just evaluated at this lattice node for the amplitude un. Now for this standard discretization, there is no translational invariant. The translational invariant is broken. It's a discrete space, a lattice space. And we would like to raise the first question, the main question. Does the discrete model inherit the solutions, the traveling wave solutions that continuous model has? So this is about kink solution. A very similar problem appears related to solitary wave solutions for nonlinear Schrödinger equation. This is a standard continuous NLS system in the space of one dimension for a complex valued variable u. And it is gauge invariant in the sense that we can rotate the argument of a complex valued function on any quantity. And it has the famous solitary wave solution, which is now a solution which connects zero equilibrium state at both infinity, at negative and positive infinity, expressed in terms of elementary function hyperbolic H. And it has four parameters. S is a translation in space. Theta is a translation of the argument. Then C, there is no constraint on C, but C is the velocity of a traveling wave solution. And then the positive parameter omega indicates the frequency of this solitary wave solution. So this solution exists in a continuous PDE. And now if we take a standard discretization, we will get so-called discrete nonlinear Schrödinger equation of the same style as before, the second or the central difference as a discretization of the second order derivative, and the on-site, the standard on-site nonlinearity. And we would like to ask the same question again. Does the discrete model have stationary solitary wave solution? So in terms of applications, both continuous and discrete models were derived in a number of branches of physics and engineering sciences. And therefore, in many cases in applied sciences, there is no connection between these two models. So people are interested either in the behavior of solution in PDEs or in the behavior of the solutions in the nonlinear lattice. But throughout my talk, I will try to make this connection because I would like to reformulate the problem as a persistence problem for the continuous traveling wave solution, for solutions of a continuous PDE. So now, if we look at the discrete system, at the nonlinear lattice, we would like to formulate what could be a traveling wave solution. It is a non-trivial question because the translation invariance is broken in the nonlinear lattice. And my definition of traveling waves will be the wave which repeats itself when it travels from one lattice node to another lattice node. In the sense that if the amplitude u at the lattice node 0 has a certain behavior in time as a function of time, then exactly the same behavior is translated to the first lattice node 1 with a possible time delay, tau. And then exactly the same behavior is translated to the second node, which is one time delay from the first node or two time delays from the zero node, and so on, so on. So in other words, we are looking, the traveling wave solutions are defined as a reduction of the nonlinear lattice system when all amplitudes at a particular lattice node n are generated by a single amplitude u naught with a possible time delay, with a time delay n, which is multiple of tau, time shift tau. Or in other words, in a more formal way, we can reformulate the problem as follows. Try to find the solutions of the nonlinear lattice system in the form of given by the function phi, which is an unknown function, defined as the so-called traveling coordinate, traveling wave coordinate. And in this traveling wave coordinate, the lattice space in H, nature appears, n is the discrete lattice node, and t is the continuous time, and c is now the velocity, which is, according to the standard law of physics, it's just a quotient of the distance the wave travels from one node to another node, which is h, divided by the time delay, divided by the time variable, tau. If you look for these special solutions, then we immediately reduce the problem to the following form. It's a so-called differential advanced delay equation. Because of the dependence on time, there will be two derivatives, two continuous derivatives in the left-hand side of the equation. Because it was a lattice system, there is a second-order difference operator, which is now rewritten as advance operator and delay operator. And if we are looking at the standard on-site nonlinearity, then the nonlinearity is still unaffected. It's evaluated as a function of zeta. So this is a formal reduction, but the question is, what are solutions of this differential advanced delay equation? Can we find solutions of this equation which could match in a continuous limit when h goes to zero to the traveling wave solutions of the PDEs, like King solutions or solitary wave solutions? And in order to define these solutions, we should look at the variable z as a continuous variable. Because though it is a linear superposition of the discrete coordinate n and continuous variable t, if c is non-zero, then zeta is a continuous variable. Therefore, this problem is posed on the real line rather than on a discrete lattice. And in particular, we would like to look at the classical solution of the problem. If c equals 0, then there is no second derivative operator in the left-hand side. Therefore, it is just advanced delay equation, no derivatives. And we should just look at the continuous solutions defined on the entire line. If c is non-zero, we are looking for a twice continuously differentiable solution defined on the entire line. And because we are looking in particular in a special traveling wave solution, then in the problem of Kings, we are looking for a solution which is monotonically increasing from 1, from minus 1, which is equilibrium state of the problem, to plus 1, which is another equilibrium state, uniform equilibrium state of the problem. Or in case of solitary wave solution, we are looking for a single hum solution which decays to the zero equilibrium state at both infinity. And I have shown some classical discretization when the nonlinearity is evaluated on site. Therefore, we would like to ask the first question, whether classic problems, whether standard discretizations admit such solutions. And the answer is no, unfortunately not. In particular, if we are looking at the stationary solution, we would like to have a classical solution to be continuous function defined on the entire line, while the only solution we can obtain is piecewise constant, piecewise continuous solution, even more, piecewise constant solution. So the solution has a jump discontinuity. And in particular, we can only define two possible piecewise constant solutions, which are defined at the lattice nodes And one solution is either antisymmetric in the case of kinks or symmetric in the case of solitary waves about one particular selected node, or it inherits the same symmetry, antisymmetric or symmetric, at the midpoint between the two lattice nodes. And there is no continuous deformation from one solution to another solution. To give you an example, let's take a look at the following stationary solutions of the standard discrete nonlinear Schrödinger equation. Now the solutions are time independent. Then the solution is defined because C equals zero, it's stationary solution. The solution is defined on the lattice node N. And in this case, in the case of solitary wave solution, the solution can be considered to be a real valued solution. These are two particular solutions. One is a discrete solitary wave, which is symmetric about one particular lattice node zero. And the other one is a solitary wave, which is symmetric at the midpoint between two particular nodes, say zero and one. And unfortunately, there is no continuous deformation from one solution to another solution. So in the sense, because the translation invariance of the nonlinear lattice is broken, we cannot have a translational invariant solutions which would be continuous functions of the parameter of translations. And as a result, in the original problem associated to the advanced delay equation, we cannot have truly continuous solutions defined on a real line. And this is a situation which we cannot do anything about it. It is just a situation for any, or at least for standard 5-4 model or for standard discretization of the nonlinear Schrödinger model. But we would like now to reformulate the model itself in the same limits of validity. For example, let's look at the 5-4 model when u is a real valid function. We have the linear operator, which is just a discretization of the second order derivatives. But now we would like to upgrade the nonlinearity to evaluate the nonlinearity not only on side, but also at the two adjacent sides. And in the limit when h goes to zero, this second order difference operator approaches to the continuous derivative operator, at least in the class of analytic functions. And therefore, the truncation error of this approximation is order of h squared. Therefore, we would like to find in the same limit of validity of the continuous system a more general class of nonlinearity. In particular, we would like still to recover the continuous limit. Therefore, we would like to ensure that this nonlinearity evaluated on site UUU returns the nonlinearity of the continuous PDE. Also, we would like to have a nonlinearity in the class of symmetric functions so that the truncation error of the continuous limit approximation will be order of h squared, and it will be, in fact, expanded in even powers of h. Also, for simplicity, let's consider f to be independent of h, and let's consider f in the class of cubic polynomials, where the linear term is uniquely expressed on site for the on site un, because we have a freedom to select the lattice space in h. While the cubic nonlinearity, we don't have this freedom any longer. The cubic nonlinearity is as it is. It's a homogeneous O3, means homogeneous cubic polynomial. So this is the model. This is a general discrete model which has the same validity as the standard discrete 5-4 model. But now, let's define so-called exceptional discretizations. Exceptional discretizations, by definitions, are those discretizations of the nonlinear function f which support continuous stationary solutions. So truly continuous stationary solutions of the advanced delay equation. And of course, it is an issue. It would be an issue if such exceptional discretizations are well-defined and exist, but luckily we have three examples of such exceptional discretizations, which were proposed in three individual papers without any connections between these three individual papers. So these are three particular discretizations, and each discretization has what we define, has what we want, exceptional stationary solutions, which are solutions with a translational parameter. For example, the first discretization has a solution even in analytic form, in the form of hyperbolic 10 function, which is just the same form as was in continuous PDEs, but now it is a discrete 10. It's 10 defined on the discrete lattice N. And it has a continuous parameter S. So, for example, if S equals 0, this solution is antisymmetric with respect to one particular node. If S equals H divided by 2, it is antisymmetric with respect to the midpoint between two particular nodes. And because S is a free parameter, there is a continuous deformation from one particular solution to another particular solution. And then physicists studied such exceptional discretization numerically, and numerically they saw that the existence of these stationary solutions also indicate that moving kinks can travel, but with some radiation, but radiation is essentially smaller than the radiation in the standard discretizations. So not only exceptional discretization can allow for continuous stationary solution, but also they can allow for moving, for traveling solutions, but with some reduced radiation tail. So at this framework, at this context, our work has arisen. And we would like to answer three particular questions associated to this topic. The first question is pretty simple. We have three individual exceptional discretizations. Can we generalize these three individual exceptional discretizations to a full class of exceptional discretization? So in other words, can we characterize a full family of non-linearities which allow for continuous stationary solutions? The answer is yes. We have found two families of exceptional discretizations. Each family has two arbitrary parameters, and one family is actually has a non-empty intersection with the other family. And I will explain in two slides the solution, the simple solution of this simple problem. Now it's a harder problem. If we have in exceptional discretizations, if we have stationary continuous kinks at C equals zero, is it a sufficient condition that the traveling wave solutions exist at least for small values of the velocity, for small non-zero values of the velocity? So in other words, does the existence of the stationary kink indicate a bifurcation of a traveling kink solution? That is a harder problem, much harder problem, and the answer is surprisingly no. Kinks with non-zero values of velocities do not bifurcate from kinks with zero values of the velocity. And I will try to explain, to give more details on this topic, which is the central part in the remainder of my talk. And then also the third question, can we, if there is no bifurcation from the limit C equals zero, can we still characterize some other bifurcations, or even all possible bifurcations of traveling kinks? And the answer is yes, and in the case when C is non-zero, all bifurcations are related to finite dimensional central manifold, and standard methods of dynamical system can be useful in terms of characterization of all possible bifurcations of traveling kink solution. And depending on time, I may give you more details on these bifurcations. So now let's give a quick idea on the solution of the first problem, generalization of examples of exceptional nonlinearities. And in order to give you an idea, let me reformulate the same problem from advanced delay equation to the standard second order difference map equation. In the case of stationary solutions, when C equals zero, we don't have a continuous space. The space is still discrete because Z is equals H times N. H is a parameter, while N is a discrete lattice node parameter, discrete space. Therefore, the solution can be only defined on each discrete lattice node. And as a result, the stationary problem is nothing but the second order difference map. Now, we would like to define the nonlinearity F in such a way that this second order difference map admits a reduction to the first order difference map. In some sense, it's a conserved quantity for the second order difference map. So if F is in the class of polynomial functions, we look for another discretization G also in a class of polynomial functions. And generally, the second order difference map has no conserved quantity, but we are looking for exceptional nonlinearities in which the conserved quantity exists. What does it give it to us? In fact, it is the answer to all our questions, because Speight in 98 proved the following theorem. In the context of 5-4 model, in the context of stationary kink solutions, If g is a polynomial function such that in the continuous limit it recovers the quadratic polynomial which is associated to the first integral of the continuous 5-4 model, then for any initial value phi naught at the lattice node 0, in between minus 1 and 1, there exists a unique monotonic sequence defined on either infinity, on either side of the point 0 to plus and minus infinity, such that it is a strictly monotonic sequence, and it approaches to the constant equilibrium points at infinity. It's different, minus 1 at negative infinity, plus 1 at positive infinity. So this is a stationary kink solution. Moreover, the sequence is continuous with respect to the initial value. Therefore, this initial value can be considered to be a translation parameter which can translate the entire family of traveling kink solutions. Not traveling, but stationary kink solutions. And indeed, if we have a sequence in the second order difference equation, we immediately can interpolate this sequence in the solution of the advanced delay equation, such that the solution is continuous function defined on the entire line, and S is a translation parameter which is free and which is associated, which is related to the initial value of the sequence phi naught. Therefore, provided that we can we can reduce the second order difference map to the first order difference map, provided that we can do this, immediately it's a guarantee that this monotonic, continuous, stationary kink solutions exist in the problem. And therefore, the problem is almost solved. Now we can classify all types of exceptional nonlinearities from the point of reduction for what nonlinearities, F, there exists a polynomial nonlinearity G in the first order difference map. And in this way, we have identified two families of discretizations of the continuous 5-4 model. Each family has two parameters, and these families generalize three particular examples which were previously given by Speight, Kevrikidis, and Tovris. So now, let's consider only those exceptional nonlinearities. And now let's consider the problem of existence of traveling wave solution. So in some sense, now I would like, suppose that I know the answer for C equals 0. I know that there exists a continuous C naught solution. Is it a sufficient condition that the entire family of solutions, traveling wave solution, exists for non-zero values of the velocity parameter C? So as I claim, the answer is no. And now it's time for me to explain why. So in order to understand bifurcations of traveling solutions, let's look at the linearized equation. In particular, this is the linearization with respect to the zero equilibrium point, but similar linearizations can be done with respect to any uniform equilibrium state, like plus one or minus one. So in this linearization, we truncate out the cubic, the homogeneous cubic polynomial, and as a result, we have the following linearized differential advanced delay equation with two parameters, H is the lattice spacing and C is the velocity. And now we can look for exponential solutions of this differential advanced delay equation and reduce the problem to the so-called dispersion relation or determinant equation or characteristic equations associated to this problem. And in particular from this equation, we can see that all eigenvalues lambda, which define these eigenfunctions phi, are given by roots of the transcendental equation, which is given in terms of analytic function on the entire complex plane, and therefore all roots of analytic functions are isolated or finite multiplicities. No accumulation points exist on the finite plane. In particular, we are interested to know how many roots exist on the imaginary axis, because the roots which exist on the imaginary axis define so-called oscillatory modes, in fact, Fourier oscillatory modes. So if we are looking for a solution which is supposed to decay exponentially at to the constant, to the uniform equilibrium state, those oscillatory modes can prevent the solution to decay exponentially because they are given by non-decaying oscillatory components. And if we look at these solutions of at the imaginary axis, then the problem reduces to finding all real-valued roots of this equation. And in particular, two limits are important for us. If c equals 0 and h is sufficiently small, say below 4, there are infinitely many roots, infinitely many real valued roots of this equation. And in fact, there are no other roots, other complex valued roots of the equation. So all roots of the linearized problems are located at the imaginary axis. And on the other hand, if h equals 0, then immediately we can see that 0 root is of algebraic multiplicity 2. But besides 0 root, if c is sufficiently small, or if c is smaller than 1, there could exist additional real valued roots from this equation. And these are two important limits. So I will not have time to describe the bifurcation curve, which indicate one-to-one Resonant-Hopf bifurcation. So I would like to stick just with two particular bifurcations. At the vertical segment, when c equals 0, we have infinitely many roots. All are simple and all are real valued, infinitely many roots on the imaginary axis, if k is real valued, lambda is purely imaginary. And the bifurcation at h equals 0, where h equals 0 indicates so-called continuous limit, when the lattice problem can be reduced to the continuous PD, at least formally. And in this limit h equals 0, we have a double 0 root, which coexists with finitely many pairs of real valued roots. Now, if we would like to study bifurcation of Traven wave solution, we can immediately see that each of the problem could be bifurcational, because we know for exceptional discretizations, when c equals 0, there is a continuous family of Traven wave solutions, which could, in principle, bifurcate off the vertical segment c equals 0. So it is just given, because the nonlinearity we would like to consider is exceptional nonlinearity. On the other hand, if h equals 0, there is a double 0 root, which can split and form a homoclinic or heteroclinic orbit, so there could exist another bifurcation. But we can see that the way to analyze of these two bifurcations is different, is completely different. In the bifurcation c equals 0, we have to deal with infinite dimensional central manifold. And it is, at least I don't know any regular way to solve this problem. And in fact, we have almost, we have absolutely no progress in terms of analysis of this bifurcation. But on the other hand, when h equals 0, when we have a continuous limit, then it is just a finite dimensional central manifold, finitely many roots on the imaginary axis, one of which is a double zero root. So what we would like to do, we don't want to study bifurcations in the horizontal segment of the vertical axis. We would like to study bifurcation in the vertical direction of the horizontal axis on this bifurcation plane. And from this, we would like to understand more whether the traveling wave solutions with non-zero values of c could exist. That is our program for the rest of my time. And in fact, there are many interesting obstacles on the realization of this problem. So as I mentioned, h equals 0 is the continuous limit of a nonlinear lattice. In order to see this continuous limit, let's go back to the original problem. We have a differential advanced delay equation with a cubic, homogeneous cubic nonlinearity term q given here. And if h is tend to 0, then at least in the class of analytic functions, we can represent this advanced delay operator in terms of a second derivative and plus the Taylor series in terms of high derivatives. Also, similar trick can be done with respect to the nonlinear term. We can expand all solutions in terms of Taylor series in powers of h. And because we consider symmetric nonlinearities, all truncations terms, or all errors will be given in even powers of h. And then we can look for a formal perturbation expansion. Starting at the zero solution at h equals 0, we are looking for a solution in even powers of h. And at the leading order at h to the power 0, we have nothing but the continuous limit, which we know, if we are talking about 5-4 model, we know that there is a heteroclinic orbit, which is a stationary or even traveling king solution, given in terms of elementary function hyperbolic 10 of this fancy argument theta. And then if we will continue to the next order, and in fact to any power order approximation, then we will get a linearized operator on this 10 solution, and the linearized operator defined on the entire axis, in the entire line of theta. And the right-hand side is, in fact, antisymmetric with respect to theta and exponentially decaying, so and also infinitely differentiable. Therefore, the right-hand side lies definitely in L2 on a real line, and the operator maps also L2 to L2. Therefore, we would like to invert this operator in order to find the correction of the perturbation series. Of course, the operator is not invertible because a priori we knew for this particular operator there exists an eigenvector, eigenfunction in the kernel of the operator. But this eigenfunction given by Sage squared is symmetric. And if the right-hand side is antisymmetric, then the operator is invertible on the class of antisymmetric functions. So as a result, we can manage to find exponentially decaying solution, correction term, phi to n, for any power term n. And as a result, combining this formal perturbation expansion together, we have a perfect heteroclinic orbit. Because of the leading order solution, it approaches to minus 1 at negative infinity and to plus 1 at positive infinity. So the perturbation expansion from the continuous limit indicates no problem on existence of traveling King solution for any value of c, where C is a parameter of this solution. However, we don't know if the perturbation series expansion converges. And in fact, we can immediately see the reason why this perturbation series expansion may not converge. The reason is the Fourier oscillatory modes, which are related to non-zero eigenvalues located at the imaginary axis. So if we take a linearization of the non-zero of the uniform states, then all Fourier oscillatory modes are given by roots of this equation and the limit h equals 0. And besides zero root, about which we knew, there exists non-zero root, at least for the values of c to be smaller than 1. In particular, if c is close to 1, all roots are given by intersection of this function with the constant values. And for c close to 1, there is exactly 1 root. For c smaller, we have more roots. And for c to be very small, we have quite many roots. And in the limit c goes to 0, we have infinitely many roots located at the imaginary axis. Therefore, we could not believe to the outcome of the formal perturbation expansion, because the perturbation expansion indicates the existence of the solution, but the Fourier oscillatory modes coexist with this solution, and if we can see, then the h appears to be in the denominator of the argument of exponential function. Therefore, Fourier modes are not expandable in the powers of h. Therefore, they must exist beyond all powers of h. And this indicates that the formal perturbation series may not converge, and in general would not converge. So in some sense, we could quit solving this problem because it's very hard. It is not solvable by formal perturbation expansion in powers of h. But on the other hand, there is a theory of beyond all orders asymptotic expansions back to the pioneer paper of Kruskal and Schieger. And now it's a rigorous theory based on the theorem of Tobis, which I will show in a few minutes. And according to this theory, there is a systematic way to analyze convergence of the formal power series in H beyond all orders. In order to analyze convergence of this series, Kruskal and Schieger suggested to consider the solutions of the real axis. So this is a hyperbolic tan function. When theta is real, it has no singularities, it's a perfect real analytic function. But when theta is purely imaginary, which is a zero of the hyperbolic cosine, then it has simple poles. So this function is meromorphic in a complex plane of theta, and it has some pole singularities. So Kruskal and Segor suggested to fix one particular singularity, for example, the nearest singularity to the real axis, and to rescale the equation. This is done pretty much straightforward. Instead of independent variable z, we will look for independent variable zeta, rescaled by h, and it is evaluated, it is computed near the first pole in theta. Then instead of dependent variable phi, we will be looking for a dependent variable psi, and psi is a function of zeta, satisfy the differential advanced delay equation rewritten in new variables. And this equation is referred as the inner equation of asymptotic beyond all order method. So we can still see all ingredients of the differential advanced delay equation: the second order derivative, the advanced delay operator, the non-linearity, and the linear part. But now scaling is different, and the small parameter h multiplies this linear term. And again, the linear term has a truncation error of h squared. Therefore, we can look again for formal expansion and powers of h, where all terms of this formal expansion can be actually matched with the terms of the formal expansion of the original problem. So we can, for example, look at the zero-order term psi naught and see that if we start with a formal perturbation series in the original problem, then we have nothing, and make a transformation of variables, then we have nothing but the inverse power series in powers of zeta. Or equivalently, if we truncate the equation at the leading order term, then this is a formal power series solution of the truncated differential advanced delay equation. Now, what is the relevance of this solution with respect to our problem? The relevance, the answer, is given by the theorem of Tolbert. If the inverse power series in zeta for inner equation diverges, then the formal perturbation series for original problem diverges too. And this indicates that the perfect exponentially decaying solution to a uniform state does not exist, because those Fourier oscillatory modes are effectively non-zero beyond the formal expansion. Therefore, if we can analyze the convergence or divergence of this object, which is a simpler object, then we can, in fact, answer to the original question, to the convergence of the formal series solution. And as a matter of fact, it is easier to analyze the inverse power series for psi naught in the integral form upon action of the integral transform. In particular, typically, if we look at the solution in time variable, and the time variable is defined only for positive times, then we can reduce differential equation by using Laplace transform for a spectral parameter, for Laplace transform parameter P. Here, it's another way around. The solution in physical space zeta we are looking for is, in fact, the Laplace transform of the unknown solution in a spectral parameter P. So instead of psi naught, we will consider V naught, which is obviously the inverse Laplace transform of psi naught. And this object V naught is easy because it satisfies the integral equation. All differential, advanced, delay operators map uniformly to the integral equation, where the linear part, the left-hand side, is the linear part, which is nothing but the determinant equation we have already analyzed. And the right-hand side is nothing but the double convolution operator, which appears due to the homogeneous cubic polynomials. And some numerical coefficients indicate exceptional discretization for this homogeneous cubic polynomial. And now, the solution we are looking for is the inverse power series in zeta, and this inverse power series in zeta corresponds to the solution in spectral plane P as a power series solution defined at the origin. And this solution will converge in the neighborhood of the origin because the first singular point of the determinant of the characteristic equation is located on a distance from the origin. If we will put at least few points, few roots of this determinant equation on a complex plane of P, then the solution we are looking for starts at zero, and the first singularity occurs exactly at the imaginary axis. And we have seen that for any values of C, there exists a singularity, at least one singularity at the imaginary axis. Therefore, the solution we are looking for will not be uniform in P, so the power series in P will converge only in the neighborhood of the origin. Now, looking at the Laplace transform technique, we have a contour of integration. Depending how we define the contour of integration, we can define objects which satisfy particular boundary conditions. If the contour of integration is defined in the first quadrant, the solution, the underlying solution, will satisfy the zero boundary condition at the right infinity. So this is so-called stable solution, or the solution in the direction of the stable manifold. And then if the contour is defined in the second quadrant, then the solution will correspond to the unstable manifold. It will be zero, exponentially zero, at the left infinity. And if we wouldn't have any singularities on the imaginary axis. We can transform, we can prove analyticity of the solution in between the contour, and we can do complex contour deformation in a complex plane. However, there are singularities, and therefore, if we do this contour deformation, then the distance between the two solutions will be essentially non-zero and will be associated to the residue term evaluated at the singularities. In particular, we would like to define the first residue term at the first singularity, ik1, in terms of this constant k1. It's easy to prove that singularities appear in pairs, in symmetric pairs. Therefore, near the first residue term, there will be this limiting expansion, and k1 is proportional to the residue term. So k1 has, in fact, a name. It's referred as a Stokes constant. Therefore, if the Stokes constant is non-zero, the residue term is non-zero. But if the residue term is non-zero, it means that the stable manifold does not intersect with the unstable manifold. The distance between these two solutions is given in terms of those Fourier oscillatory modes with some coefficient k1. So if k1 is non-zero, it means that there is no connection between either heteroclinic orbit or homoclinic orbit, and that simply means that the formal power series expansion which describes this connection fails, and it fails because of beyond all other terms. Therefore, we can algorithmically answer the question on convergence of the power series expansion if we will evaluate, if we will compute this Stokes constant k1, which is relatively easy to do. On one hand, we have a power series defined in even powers of p. The coefficients of this power series starts with a particular coefficient which comes from it comes either from the equation or from connection of this series from original formal perturbation expansion. And all coefficients of this power series are defined, in fact, uniquely by means of a recurrency relation. We can transform the integral equation to the recurrency relation for the coefficients of this power series. On the other hand, near the pole singularity, we can see that the k1, the Stokes constant, is multiplied also by the power series, and therefore our coefficients v to n should approach to the coefficients in this power series defined near the first pole. And in this way, since v to n is the object we can compute, then we can multiply this object by a certain factor, define the sequence of wn, and according to this theory, according to the assignment between these two series, the limit must exist and the limit must recover the Stokes constant. So it is a matter of a numerical procedure to compute the coefficients of the sequence Wn and then compute the limit when n goes to infinity. And unfortunately, the convergence is pretty slow, like inverse power of n, and this is a numerical result for coefficients of Wn. And in order to improve the convergence, we have estimated the constant A from a very simple assignment and improved the convergence as a quadratic convergence. So we can see that this, of course, because of the round of error, we cannot do it really to infinity for n. But we can do it at least for n equals 10,000. And we can see that upon this renormalization, the quadratic convergence gives a very good estimate already for 2,000 iterations or 3,000 iterations. And in this way, we have obtained the ultimate answer to any exceptional discretizations which we can formulate. For example, let's show a few results. Starting with a standard discretization. What is a standard, again, discretization? This is an on-site discretization which doesn't have already continuous stationary kinks. We can see the behavior of the Stokes constant with respect to the parameter C, and from this behavior we can see that the Stokes constant is very large and it's always non-zero. Therefore, this standard discretization is a very bad discretization because it does not allow even traveling wave solutions to exist. Not only the stationary solutions, and in fact the amplitude of this, the residue term is in fact very large, which explains large radiation which is observed numerically for traveling type kink solution. Then the next discretization is already exceptional discretization. This is a discretization due to Tovbis. For this discretization, there are stationary solutions for C equals zero. However, I indicated that our method only works for C to be non-zero because we look for bifurcation in the vertical direction with respect to parameter H. Therefore, this divergence of the Stokes constant is in fact artificial and it has to be truncated, it has to be neglected. But the values of the Stokes constant for any finite values of C are good, are valid, and these values indicate two things. First of all, the Stokes constant is never zero. Therefore, according to the theorem by Tobbis, there is no bifurcation of truly traveling king solution for any values of C. Therefore, on the question whether or not the existence of stationary solution is a sufficient condition for existence of traveling wave solution, the answer is negative. No, because traveling wave solutions may not exist for any values of C. On the other hand, the other thing which this picture indicates is a relatively smaller values of the residue term. It is not thousands like in the standard discretization, but order of 10, even 1 or 2. And this explains the reduced radiation from moving kings in those exceptional discretizations, in particular in discretization of Tobbis. But there is one more phenomenon which I would like to stick with. How much time do I have? Yes, I think 5 minutes will be all right for me exactly. So one more interesting phenomenon appears for the next discretization in the list. It's also exceptional discretization suggested by Spade. And in this discretization, we still see that the Stokes constant is non-zero almost everywhere, except for one particular point when it crosses from negative to positive values. And in those points, the theorem of Tobbis is not applicable because that theorem guarantees the non-existence of solution if K1 is non-zero. It does not guarantee that the solution exists if K1 is zero because there could be other singularities at the imaginary axis and because it is only necessary but not sufficient condition for existence of for convergence of a formal perturbation expansion. Therefore, this picture raises a question whether or not there is anything interesting around this particular point. And if we finally look at the last discretization in our list, which is due to Kavrakidis, then we will see even three zeros of the Stokes constant for three individual isolated values of the parameter C. Therefore, the same question occurs if there exists a bifurcation of three families of traveling king solution in this particular exceptional discretization. And in order to answer this question, I will just go over a quick numerical algorithm. So we don't know from point of analysis whether or not this zero of the Stokes constant indicates a true bifurcation. Without additional analysis, we cannot answer this question. But what we know is that there is only simple simple root on the imaginary axis when C is large enough. And all zeros of the Stokes constant belong to this interval. Therefore, no other singularities occur on the imaginary axis, and we can have at least a hope that there exists a true bifurcation of a one-parametric curve on this plane of H and C, which passes through the point when H equals zero and C equals C star, where C star is the root of the Stokes constant. In order to indicate whether this conjecture is true or not, we have done some numerical analysis. We approximate solution of the differential advanced delay equation on the truncated domain subject to the antiperiodic boundary condition. And we have considered, we have computed the variance of the solution near the mean value, near the average, at the points, at the interval which is close to the end of the computational interval. So if we have a true traveling king solution, then phi is expected to approach to the average, which is expected to be close to a constant uniform solution, either 1 or minus 1. And if phi oscillates near this average, this indicates that there is no true solution. There is Fourier oscillatory mode. And here this variance is plotted with respect to the parameter C, where C is shifted towards to the C star. And C star is no longer the zero of the Stokes constant because H is non-zero, while the Stokes constant is only computed in the limit H goes to zero. But C star is a numerically found root of this curve. And we can see that scaled near this root, the variance of the solution is pretty small, and also this indicates the linear behavior of the variance near the root. So it indicates that indeed there exists a root in this quantity, and therefore for these values of h, for these values of c, there exists a true traveling kink solution. So this indicates that the answer to the question whether or not there exists a bifurcation is positive, but at this point we don't have analysis. So I would like to finish with, so I will not be going through any other bifurcations, I will just use this parameter plane to again summarize all the results. So we have started with exceptional discretizations which guarantee the existence of stationary kink solution, continuous stationary kink solution for C equals zero, and then we ask whether it is a sufficient condition for existence also of traveling wave solution. And the answer is no. Traveling wave solutions do not exist and do not exist for generally do not exist for non-zero values of C. In particular, we studied bifurcations from the horizontal segment as h goes to zero, and we have found that no solutions exist except for a few points where the Stokes constant have simple isolated zeros. And near those points, we have indicated, at least numerically, that there must be a bifurcation of a curve on this two-parameter plane, bifurcation of true traveling kink solution. So I will skip the rest and finish that one of the important problems would be to study the bifurcation from C equals zero. And I already explained why it is a very complicated problem. The central manifold is infinite dimensional, but still in some applied papers, people try to argue that the existence of the solution at C equals zero guarantees the existence of the solution at least in powers of C. But looking at our results, we would anticipate that those power series and powers of C squared do not converge, and it would be a nice problem for mathematical analysis to prove that these formal asymptotic expansions in power of C for exceptional discretizations fail, and therefore no bifurcations could take place from this vertical segment on a two-parameter plane. With this, I will thank you for your attention.